Well, we want to welcome all of those that are listening to this podcast to the Cross Culture Church Tuesday Noon Bible Study. And we are going for it. We're in Acts chapter 9, and we are moving forward. And today we're going to talk about a man who God turned that what looked like was evil into something good. And so there's a lot of good things that we're going to get out of this particular chapter, and a lot of things that we're going to get for ourselves in life. Amen. So let's move right on. Here in chapter 9, we have Saul going toward Damascus. He is called by Christ. Ananias is sent to him. He's baptized. And then from that, he starts to preach Christ and miracles. And they're going to show some miracles that are going to be wrought by Peter. We probably won't get to the miracles wrought by Peter part, but we're definitely going to get Saul being apprehended. So let's move right on into it. Verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. All right. Now, in previous chapters here, we see that Saul was among the group that were persecuting the Christians. He was part of the Sadducees group that was trying to hinder the word of God from going forth. So they were threatening and persecuting those who were naming the name of Christ and discipling others into what was called the way. And of course, a lot of that can be added. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. So they had started this little slogan or slang statement of being in the way. All right, in that way. So here we are. Saul is breathing out threatenings and slaughter. Now, interesting, that word breathing out meant he made accusations and threatenings about what he was going to do. As we look before, he was right there at the stoning of Stephen, right, holding the coats, mm-hmm, and saying, get him.
That's right.
So he had a zeal, but it was not according to knowledge.
Right.
And so what we have here in verse 1 is he's going to the high priest. And he's going to continue on in what he felt like was the right thing to do. All right?
Yes.
Now, in verse 2, we have, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, or that way, truth, and the life, or that way, the Christian way, the discipleship way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Boy, he's trying to get some credentials to say, hey, I got power to go get them. So if anybody asks what you're doing, why you arresting people, why you thinking you all that in a bag of chips, he said, hey, I got letters. So he not only is he tough on them, he's trying to get a badge so that he can be authorized to bring about persecution. All right. As we move on into verse 3, it says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. All right. Now. Yeah, OK, let's go. Let's move on. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? All right. What do we have here? Y'all ready to dive into it?
Yes.
All right. He was on a journey just as we are on a journey. All right. Are we doing the world's bidding, or are we doing God's bidding? And to what level of intensity are we doing so? Now, of course, you all that are under the sound of my voice, y'all are going in the way of the Lord. and you all are excited and more than motivated about the things of God. And so your journey should be, as probably is, one of on fire for the things of God, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, you have to understand and look at it from another perspective. If you look at it from the flip side of the coin, if there are people that you know that are hell-bent on going to hell, then if there's a light that shines round and about, you think something can happen? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of times I want us to look at the fact that we all are on a journey. And if you look at the journey, where on the journey are you? When you come into this world, you come into this world not having a time frame of its ending. But you know that there's a start, and then there's an in the meantime, and then there's an end, right?
Right.
Okay, so on this journey, when you meet people, one of the thoughts can be, where are they on their journey? How fast are they going down that way? And can you be a light that can shine to them? Because we should be what? Light bearers.
Right.
Standard bearers. Right?
Yes. I go back to what you said about Saul. Saul had a zeal for the law. I mean, he was hell-bent on the law. And when he met, he fell to the ground and he was changed. The same zeal he had for the law, he had for the Lord. So in the world, they call it a term. When I was in business, they would call it synergism. You know, they said, you must be excited about your product and your business. Mm-hmm. And excited and enthused and everything, mm-hmm. to present your product to other people to get them excited,
right?
And the same thing. So we as Christians, we don't call it synergism, but we should have the same zeal and excitement that you would if you were going out for your business as we do for God. And that promotes others to be excited, or cause them to want to say, what are you excited about? What is that joy on your face? Why are you so peaceful and everything's falling around? You know,
yeah.
They want some of that. So it catches on, and it does catch on and catch fire.
Anything else in there? Because there's still some more nuggets in there.
And the funny thing about it, Saul thought he was doing the will of God, even though he was serving the Sanhedrin, when he was taking people, because he thought this was a false god, and that's why he had so much zeal to destroy the people that were serving God.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. I like the one he went to the high priest and got the authority. I got him a letter, so to speak. As I would say, he got him a notarized authoritative letter to go out and capture and murder or slaughter, I think the word says slaughter, mm-hmm. or kill the people. So he was adamant and he believed in what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So when this light shone from above, actually it blinded him. We'll see that later on. But it actually blinded him, and he eventually came to. And that was so funny to me when I saw that. But he had a zeal for destroying people of the way. I mean, there was no doubt in his mind that whether it was men, boys or girls, he said, I'll get them. He said, just give me the authority. I'll get them for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll
mm-hmm.
bring them back. I'll get them for you, or I'll leave them on the field out there lying dead. Use your imagination. That's what I'm doing.
Right.
I say, just give me the authority. I'll get them.
He got him too.
What I like about Saul is, even though he was killing people and doing his thing, I like when the Lord spoke to him and he asked the Lord, what would you have me?
We ain't got down to that part yet.
Okay.
We ain't got down there.
Okay.
I want you to understand what I'm trying to do. I want you to get to see how we get to this point.
Okay.
Now, you all who've not been here for a while, I'm going to give y'all one of my favorite scriptures, and I say it all the time, and God gave it to me. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So now, here we got a situation here. He thought he was doing right.
Right.
All right? He was going in what he thought was right. All right? And because he was who he was educated. All right? He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, which meant his mother and his father were both Jews that could trace their lineage back. So he was of the upper crust. Mm-hmm. All right? He had been sent to study under the most revered Judeo leader there, which was Gamaliel. So he had studied, he knew the scriptures. All right? But he didn't have a revelation of them. He knew the scripture. So if you look at what Jesus had to contend with the Jewish people, the main contentment that they had was with tradition. They would not release the fact that what they were doing had come to an end and Christ was there to fulfill the law. They were still stuck on ceremonial stuff. They were still stuck on all of the things that they had been taught by their fathers and their father's father. They were stuck in this time war. And they knew that a king was coming, but they weren't looking for him to come in that way. So since it didn't come in the way that they thought it would, that's why there was all of this persecution and problem. So he was stuck in the way of tradition, but yet he ran into the one that fulfilled all of the prophecies and things that it was. And here when it says the light came and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why does thy persecute me? You have to understand what's happening. One, he was looking at things one way. God had to show him something else. He had to show him a better way. When we were yet without God in our life, we thought as we were stumbling around through the dark, we were doing something. Mm-hmm. All right? But we don't realize we're not doing anything until the light comes in. Amen. And we find out. Amen. That what we thought was right wasn't right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, we all felt like we were doing good till God shows us what's really good.
Amen.
Right? Amen. We all think we're doing good till somebody shows. You can be going down it's the same way to work and somebody can call you up and say, did you know if you make a left turn at this particular corner, you can get to work 10 minutes faster?
Right.
And you're like, I didn't know that.
Right.
But yet you felt like you had the best route. And so sometimes I pull up my phone and I talk to that lady on there. Betty loved that lady. That lady started telling me to turn right. But see, she takes in the whole thing. Sometimes she know about traffic jams I don't know about. She
right.
know about
you
cuts.
Must do way.
Yeah, she know what's going on. So here you are looking at a situation. You say, oh, I know this is right, but is it really right? All right, so here
you got to be teachable.
You got to be teachable, but he was not, and so here we have right here, God is talking to him. Why do you think he called his name twice?
To get his attention.
Saul, Saul, what you doing, man? And so not only that, he said, "Why dost thou persecute me?" Here Saul was thinking he was getting the group, but he really didn't understand what the group represented.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't understand it.
I got a question. I want to go back to, because I don't got, well, not really lost, but what's this word Gamaliel? What is that?
He was a teacher of the law. He was a rabbi. He was, you remember in John when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night?
Right.
Okay, Nicodemus was really under Gamaliel. Gamaliel was the top guy at the time. He would be like the Pope. Okay, he was, and everybody came and sit and wanted to be in his classes and wanted to be taught by him because he was the top religious leader at the time. All right.
I never heard that term.
Yeah, but that's a name. That's his name. That was the teacher's name was Gamaliel.
Oh, okay. Teacher name.
That was the teacher's name was Gamaliel.
Okay.
Another point in case I wasn't here when you taught this particular section, but in Acts chapter 5, you find where he gave the people some good advice.
Yeah, Gamaliel, yeah, he's in 5. We talked about him.
I was here when you did 5. I had not got a pound.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. When you go back to the Jewish tradition, the law, if you really take yourself back in time, the Jews had classes and structures of people, and these people that were teaching the laws and instructors, they were high up, mm-hmm. and they had great respect, because now Paul and all these people, they feared the law more than they feared Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. They didn't accept that, because the law was what they held on to, the old versus the new. So these people were really, really respected, and they were the top in their field. And for you to really be respected, you had to know the law.
Yeah. Verbatim.
Yes. And so you had to learn upon this somebody who was, you know.
Right. Now think about it from this perspective. The reason they hated him so is because he refuted everything that they thought was supposed to be key.
Okay.
All right. Remember, they came to him and they said, your disciples don't wash their hands before they do certain things. Mm-hmm. And why are you doing this on the Sabbath?
Right.
Every time he did something, it showed them that you all are being too rigid here, and y'all are not right. understanding the real God. God is a God of mercy, but they kept trying to hold him to the tradition. Then you remember they brought the woman. They said, all right, well, what are we going to do with the woman? We supposed to stone her. He said, no, you're not understanding grace. Everything that they had held fast to, legalism. In other words, they were legalistic. And everything that they had legalistic, Christ broke all the shackles. He said, no, you're not looking at it this way. And that's why they hated him. You know, he said, you don't come and do like we do. He said, well, I'm the one that set it all up in the beginning. Now they would get furious every time he said, I'm that you're talking about. Okay. Remember, they opened up the scripture and he said, I'm right. Now under your hearing, I'm he. And boy, they wanted to stone him then. They talking about who? What? No, it can't be you. You know, and they always try to refute. You remember how when he healed the man, they kept interrogating. The man said, look, all I know is this. Uh-huh. This man healed me, and I'm going on about my business. Y'all got issue with him, that's y'all. That ain't me. And because they said, well, you did it on the Sabbath day. He was glad whatever day he got healed. He wasn't worried about no Sabbath day.
He healed me anytime.
Oh, you see, God. I mean, so what? So this is this is what we have here. So when you say, why does thou persecute me? The Lord is trying to, is opening up a revelation to him that says you are fighting with that you pray to. It's me. And why are you doing that? Now,
that was an eye opener.
So they still was under still was in this dispensation of law instead of grace.
No. It's here. They're still trying to cling to the law. That's why the disciples are coming and trying to instruct them on grace.
Right.
See, that's why they don't like that. They trying to keep everybody getting circumcised, mm-hmm. keeping the law, keep everything right. the way that it was. Mm-hmm. And Christ was there to say, I fulfilled all of that. I've made these 10 commandments into 2.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Right.
So that's why they fighting against it. They wanting to keep it the way that it was when Christ has come to fulfill it and make everything the way that it is.
And now, they rejected grace and mercy. They didn't believe in grace.
Right. They felt like you still got to go off of sacrifice and all that when Christ was the ultimate sacrifice.
Right. Now, kill the cows.
Yeah, they still want to have turtle doves and they still want to. And why do y'all, let's just consider this. They still wanted to have works and then not be of grace. They still want to have something to say that I did in reference to the relationship. When God is saying, no, it's what I did.
We're in
chapter 9 of our Acts.
Okay.
So that's what we have here. They still holding on to what they want to have as a part of it instead of understanding that God has provided himself a sacrifice, a better way.
And then there were classism, and they felt that everybody wasn't entitled to
teach or everybody.
Right, you had Samaritans.
Something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you bind into this new that God said everybody mm-hmm. is free to all. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't free to all within, you know, so.
All right. So now he's saying, why are you persecuting me? Do we really, excuse me, I want us to understand what's going on here. This is God shining light on his sin as well.
Mm.
He was in error. Mm. So he brought it to his attention. You're persecuting me.
Mm.
It wasn't a question to this. He said, why are you persecuting me? It's not my disciples. All of those are man. Mm-hmm. They're talking about man. They're talking about me. So whatever happens to us, we have to understand that God considers us a part of him.
Right.
It's personal now. He didn't know it was, but now he does. He said, why are you persecuting me? Because he's thinking, I'm just getting these rebels. I'm just getting these people out here that's stirring up stuff. He's like, no, it's me. They're talking about me. They're a part of me, and I'm concerned about that. 5. And he said, who art thou? What's the next word?
Lord.
He recognized mm-hmm. that this was authority talking to him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
He didn't start making excuses and said, I'm not persecuting you. It's just these folks. You notice he didn't say that, right?
Right.
He didn't start giving up any kind of reasoning why he was doing anything. He says, are you my judge, Lord? Are you the one that's talking to me? This is serious now. All this time he thought he was doing right. And when he got called out, he wanted to know who it was that done called him out. He said, Lord.
When he said, Lord, and I was reading that, I was like, now flesh and blood didn't tell you that.
Yes.
Well, listen, that light that shined on him wasn't a regular light either.
That's flesh and blood didn't tell you that. When he said, Lord, I'm like, oh.
Now, do y'all realize that they were not sojourning at night?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was in the daytime.
Oh, this was in the daytime.
Wow.
So this light that shined all around them, all around them was as bright as the sun. You're not looking at a flashlight in the daytime. We're talking about a light that came down from heaven that was brighter than the sun. It was so intense and so bright, it knocked him off the horse. Yeah. It said he fell to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You don't fall to the ground if you're just walking. It said he fell to the ground. All right? And so now he's looking up in this bright light, and he says, who art thou? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks.
Mm.
He said, so what is he saying? He's saying all this that you're doing is not going to really bring forth any good for you. Now he has explained to him who he is. Verse 6 says, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
Mm-hmm.
What a question. Condemnation has come, revelation has come, and he says, I've been going the wrong way. What is it, and which direction should I go in now? How are we to understand this in present day term? All of those who do not understand who God is are walking in darkness. They've not been given revelation of the light, or the light has not been shown to them. We who understand who God is has been presented the light. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And so this light, or revelation knowledge, wisdom, truth that has been we've been exposed to is that will arrest and pull people out of bad situations. Truth always sets people free.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether they want to be set free or not, it will. You know, and then it's the truth that's received. Because you can give somebody the truth and then they can say, well, I still don't want to believe that. I'm going in this way. I've been going this way all this time, and I ain't going to turn around now. Well, that doesn't mean that the light has not been revealed. It means that they have just made the decision that they're going to forge on with their own way. And it's this part of it here where it said it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It's hard for us to do it as well.
Amen.
I know people myself, and you all may too. I know people right now struggling with the call of God on their life. They know God talking to them, but they in a struggle about it. They don't want to give certain things up, and when you talk to them, I ain't ready yet. I like what I'm doing. You don't understand. And they got all these reasonings and psychologizing and rationalizing. Well, I don't want to go to church because it's full of hypocrites. And I don't want to go. They got all of these reasons why they don't want revelation knowledge. But the truth of the matter is they don't want to give up the darkness.
But they go to the job with hypocrites.
Right. You know? So
I always tell my husband. Example, honey. Right. I always tell my husband, I say, you eat something that make you sick, don't mean you're not gonna stop eating it. I mean, you eat some macaroni and cheese, get sick from it next week, macaroni and cheese there, you still eat it. That's what I tell them.
Mm-hmm. You have to use an example.
Yeah. And listen, he got a guilty conscience.
Oh, macaroni and cheese.
Okay.
So I want us to understand here, there is something that will happen that will cause every man, woman, boy, or girl to look up.
Another thing, when Saul fell from the horse, think about he lost his eyesight. When he would look into the light, God took his eyesight. And so he was trembling and just going into the city for this man.
We ain't got down to that part yet. We gonna get there. We ain't got down to that part yet. They want to get in there, boy. Y'all want to get in there.
Get there.
I've read this chapter like 3 or 4 times, so I guess I was just excited.
Yeah, and I told you there's a lot of meat in here. There's a lot of meat in here, so I want us to try to get every morsel off, and then, you know, but again, as you read it, a lot more going to come out. All right, he says, arise and go into the city, and it says, it shall be told thee what thou must do. That's good right there. When you first come to the Lord and you come to the revelation of who he is, there's another step in the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So people say, okay, well, I got it now. No, there's another part of the process. When the light comes on and the revelation comes forth, there's another step to it. You got to be obedient. You got to be obedient because now God is going to start to talk to you. And just because you get saved does not mean that it's over. Yay. No, it's just beginning. Because the scripture said, if you be willing and obedient, mm-hmm. you shall eat the good of the land. So this is all part of the process. So one, he had to submit to God because he didn't have it all at one time. So now what does he got to do? He's got to yield. He got to submit himself and be obedient to see what the next step going to be. Every day that you wake up, you should acknowledge God, give him praise, honor, and glory, and then ask him for revelation knowledge. What should I do today? And God will give you instruction. Now, there's an elder in here. There's people in here that said, you know, when I wake up every morning, I already know what I got to do. I wake up in the morning and I have an idea what I'm going to do too. But I submit it all unto him first. Mm-hmm. It's not that we don't have the right to make a decision. Mm-hmm. But what we should do is allow God to make some mid-course direction and correction in the decisions that we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because we could be going downtown, but God may want to make you have you make a stop.
Amen.
Huh? You still gonna get downtown.
At one point in there, he says, I want you to get up. I want you to go in town. And then somebody's going to tell you what to do. Is that, I'm paraphrasing it, right?
Right, because we're going to get there.
So he's telling, I'm going to piggyback on what you were saying.
Right, the obedience part.
The obedient, but what I learned in church, and I had the problem when I came to it, nobody wants to be told what to do.
Good point.
I'll come to the church, but I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. He said, he's going to tell you what to do.
Right.
So that was the point I was trying to
get. And you made a good point.
And a good point, because here Saul has got a letter in his pocket. Mm-hmm. He has the authority to do what he feels as though he think is right. Mm-hmm. But then God stops him and said, no, I want you to do this, and then waits until I give you further instructions. So here he is. He likes to have this stuff planned A, B, C, D. Mm-hmm. And God has said, no, I'm going to give you A, and then you be patient and wait on B.
Mm. Now, when you say he has a letter in his pocket, does that come from the teacher that had been teaching?
No, he went to the high priest of the temple where he was. And that's where he got the letter from. So that was to tell the group down in Damascus that he had authority to arrest people.
Okay.
All right. So now it says, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Wow. Now this is, I want y'all to get the picture. The light just didn't shine on Saul. Everybody saw the light. The light worked on everybody, but there was only one specific one that got the call. All right? It said they heard a voice, but seeing no man. Guess what else? They didn't understand at all what the voice said. They didn't understand what the voice said. It said they stood speechless. Number one, they all were paralyzed by the light.
Right.
Here they are in broad daylight, and this light is brighter than the sun, shining all around them, which means God know everything about you, front, back, height, bottom. You can't get away from God. He got you. All right? So when the revelation comes, there's no excuse. So you said, well, I don't think I heard it. I don't know what happened. Oh, yeah, you did. The light came. The revelation knowledge was there. And so this is what it says. It says, everybody got it, but everybody didn't receive it. But seeing no man. It's like he was looking at the bush and the bush is talking. They saw the light, but they didn't know. They heard something, but it wasn't making sense to them.
If I may.
Sure.
You mentioned a very important point there, and I wanted to grasp this idea, and we hadn't arrived yet on chapter number 22 and 26 about the voice there. But see, you're going to find where you may think there's a contradiction there, but it's not. When you look at they heard a voice, they did, but they didn't understand what the voice was saying. So when you said they didn't understand it, that's a key point right there, because some people think that's a contradiction, but it really isn't.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, when we're now talking, we can go back to, I'm going to pull you back a little bit. In Exodus 20:18, when Moses was dealing with some things, what do you have? He said, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet, the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood from afar.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's Old Testament showing that things can happen and be going on, but they not be, the group might not have revelation knowledge of it, but they know that something's going on. This group knew that something was going on, but they wasn't privy to it.
Right.
All right. Here's another one here, number 7. Verse 89, and when Moses was going into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from far off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of the testimony from between the two cherubims, and it spoke unto him. So here it is again. the light, the information, things are going on, only one person getting the revelation. Mm-hmm. All right? I got a couple of more in here, but I'm going to move on because I get to dealing with them here. We're going to pull us off just a tad. Let me see what this one says here. I might get you one more. Oh, I done jumped ahead. All right. Let's move on. It says, and Saul arose from the earth, or he got up off the ground. Verse 8. Saul rose up from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. All right. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink.
That's amazing, because that bright enough to blind you
like
that was some kind of light.
Well, not only that, the word and the revelation was so powerful. He was under such condemnation about the things that he did, mm-hmm. and was in such repentance, he couldn't even eat or drink.
Wow.
Now, think about this. We looking at what happened to Saul. If we had a light that shined on us like that, and God called our name out, and said, why you just been acting like mm-hmm. you acting, mm-hmm. and you really are disappointing me. Do you think you're going to go get you a big meal after that?
No.
I'm just asking the question. I'm just saying, I want you to understand, right. This was here's a man who had that much zeal and that much energy to be shown that he was that far wrong and that far off. It tore him up.
That was astonishing, too.
I mean, just think. He had all of the trappings that people look for.
Right.
He had status. He was free. He could go. He was a Roman. He was from that area where he was free. He had been taught about it. He was educated. And then all of a sudden, you find out that all that you've been doing it wrong.
Another thing amazed me about that, they all heard the voice, they saw the light, but Saul was the only one that lost his eyesight. All the rest mm-hmm. of them still could see, even though they
right, right.
But they didn't understand it either.
And they understand, because mm-hmm. God was not dealing with any of them. He was only dealing with Saul.
Right.
He wanted to arrest Saul, because Saul was the lead person doing all the persecuting. Out to destroy the church as it was in that day.
Yeah, so those people that were following Saul, that's exactly what they were doing. They were just following him.
You know, they say if you get the leader, the rest will fall.
You hit the head and the body will fall. All right.
When he got blinded, it reminded me of Samson. He was blinded too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it reminded me of that. Yes. And I was like, yes. Okay, you're going to see after you know. Do you go through this? You're going to see in your spiritual
boy,
eyes.
Now I hate you done that. Because Samson, my buddy.
Oh,
okay. He's my buddy. Now think about it. Samson had an eye problem.
Uh-huh.
He did. He had a bad eye problem. Yeah. Now you know what he saw dictated his life. Even though he had that Nazarene vow, even though he had all this going on, he had an eye problem. Right? And what happened? They gouged him out.
That's right.
And while his eyes were gouged out and he was milling, he was riding that stone around, grinding that wheat out. Now, y'all do know that wasn't a little rock he was pushing.
Oh, no.
I mean, he had some strength now. Mm-hmm. So they had him pushing his big old bowl around, crushing the wheat out, while he was going around. Each time, he and God got a better time of revelation.
They did.
So here, Saul only had 3 days when he was in repentance mm-hmm. and feeling bad. My boy Samson had a little bit longer time.
Sure did.
To get this thing together. And when he finally got it back together and his hair had done got right, he said, Lord, if you would just let me have one more opportunity to do something, just one more.
I was just going to say, thank God for that type of conviction in our lives, because like you said, a lot of times we don't even realize that we're so wrong, and we think we're right, you know. So I thank God for that in my life personally, because I really want to be authentic, you know, and genuine, you know, with my relationship, you know, so that people that I do or may have the opportunity to witness to can really see God, you know, working in my life, you know. They can say, oh, she is for real about, you know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I want you all to understand and get the complete circle of all this. We're looking at a situation where he is a man that was moving headlong in the way that he thought was right. Once he found out it was wrong and he found out what was going on, he made an about face. And through his testimony of what happened here, a lot of people's lives are going to be changed. Matter of fact, our lives are changed because
Amen.
He wrote three quarters of the New Testament. So, so here I want us to understand: it doesn't matter if we know somebody that's terrible.
Right.
We know it doesn't matter if we know somebody that look like ain't going to be no hope for them. Mm. Whether they're a murderer, whether they're a thief, whether they're a robber, whether they're a whoremonger. Right, whether they got a gambling disorder. You can throw anything out there. Whatever we can look and think is just terrible, God can make turn
right.
that terrible all the way around and get the good out of it.
Get the glory.
So we may have relatives and we wondering about them, and and it don't look like nothing going to ever happen.
Amen.
We just got to understand that God can make something happen in their life and turn them around.
Well, I hate to go back on it, but I applaud Paul because he knew the right question to ask. What would thou have me to do, Lord? So to piggyback off of that, then Jerry Butler got to ask the Lord, what would thou have me to do? But he was responding to revelation, as we use it, and, you know, as we say, what is our active response to God's revelation of himself?
Right.
Our active response to God's revelation of himself, as you said a while ago, is obedient.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But in order for you to obey God, you have to say, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And he did it well.
Right.
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
13 books of over the New Testament.
Right.
I mean, he did it well.
He did it well.
And that's submission and surrender.
That's right. That's what would thou have me to do?
Submission and surrender.
That's it. So here we are. When we get introduced to God, is this not the next level?
Yes.
Yeah. What would I mean?
Now, Lord, what would you have me to do? My way is not and has not been right.
Right. Right.
Even though I thought it was, now there is another way that I can go. Do we choose to take that route? And Paul could have got up and said, I ain't going.
That's right.
He could have said, well, I'd just be blind the rest of my life. You know, I'm going to move on. Once that conviction came, he responded to it. And he said, now, I got a new direction. I met the Lord, and I want to do what he want me to do. Not what the Sanhedrin said, not what the council said, right?
The law.
You know, not what the high priest
That's
said,
right.
but what does God say?
But didn't he think he was working for the Lord?
To what?
Again, this is why the Lord showed him that he really wasn't. That was the question that he asked, why are you kicking against the pricks?
Right.
You here going against... known, I put it out here, you saw my son, and Saul could not say, just like the rest of them, that the miracles did not happen. They were just stuck in the tradition and did not want to give it up.
Right.
When Nicodemus came, Nicodemus said, we know you a man sent from God. We can't deny that.
Can't deny.
He said, I can't deny that, but I'm not understanding how this thing happening like this.
Right.
Because we trying to wrap our brains around it.
Right.
But see, that's why you can't do it. You can't wrap your head around God. You got to submit to God and open up your spirit to him and let God reveal it to you, because your head don't get it.
Right.
No.
when you try to start psychologizing and rationalizing with God about, you know, why this, why that, why did you have to die on the cross, and why this, you know, it, take it, digest it, and let it work. I got some medicine. I had to go try to read. I couldn't even read half of the stuff on there. But I understand. He told me to take it for 14 days. I'm going to take it for 14 days, and I'm going to get the breakthrough.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Amen.
Because that's why it was prescribed, to deal with this particular situation. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to be going back, Doc, why is this? How come I couldn't have this? And I thought this would have done that. Well, yes. No, you're not the doctor.
Yes.
Right? So here we are. We think we always know how things yes. supposed to be done. But how come, yes. why I can't just go downtown and stand around? No, you need to what? Pray first.
Right. Yeah, right.
I mean, I want you to go downtown today.
True.
You might not need to go downtown today. You might not even be ready to go downtown today. You ain't prayed enough.
That's right.
Huh? You know, you not warfared in the spirit long enough. Mm-hmm. They came back to Jesus and said, we wasn't able to cast these demons out. He said, well, that's exactly right. Because this one come through much prayer and fasting. So if you'd have asked me first, I could have told you you wasn't ready to take that one. But see, again, not praying and submitting ourselves to God and having that prayer life where you can be open for God to instruct you and to talk to you, then you'll forge out. And then when you get hit in the head, you be wondering, why, God? He said, because you wasn't listening. I could have saved you that bump. All right, so let's move on, because getting ready good. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, he called his name, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Did y'all get that?
Yep.
When you and God got a relationship and he called your name, there ain't no questions about it. Here I am, Lord.
Amen.
Here I am. What you want me to do? Now, for you all who've not heard that voice, seek to hear it.
Amen.
Oh, my God, man. I'm serious.
Pay time.
I'm telling you.
It's something. It's a still small thing, and it's so beautiful when it comes. God don't shout. He ain't real loud with it. But boy, it's a beautiful thing when it comes. And you know, I'm always in awe. I said, really? That's my little thing. I'm like, really?
You can listen because you think I'm going to be something else.
Ooh. Sweet, quiet voice.
Yeah. Right.
Sudden.
Now, Ananias is somebody to be reckoned with too now. Mm-hmm. And if you do your homework, Ananias was renowned in his town. He was steadfast in the things of God, and that's why he answered and said what he said. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called who?
Saul
of Tarsus. For behold, what's that next two words?
He is praying.
He prayeth. You don't see where Saul had been praying before, do you?
He praying. He
praying now. Again, I have to try to keep this right. in perspective. What should happen after revelation knowledge come?
Prayer.
After God talks to you, give you revelation knowledge, and you go and do what you've been told to do, the next step is to pray. What does prayer do?
Communicate between you and God.
Yes. What else does prayer do?
Brings you closer to God.
Brings you closer. What else does prayer do?
Tell you how he wants you to do what he called
give
you to
instruction.
Do.
What else? Give you instruction. What else does prayer do?
He gives you the power and the strength and the boldness.
He builds you up
yes,
to
go
he
in
the
power.
Gives you the ability to hear from God.
As you... Praying is like an right. exercise. The more you do it, the more you get out of it. If you don't communicate with God on a regular basis, your hearing gets dull. That's why if you pray every day, you are more sensitive to, than one who prays once a month.
Yes.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen to that.
You, I'm just saying. Amen. You it says little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. Well, what it does is the more you pray, you get out of yourself and you get into spirit, and then you are more sensitive to the things of God. All right? If you look at junk 20 hours, let's do 12. If you look at junk 12 hours a day, and you only pray 1 hour a day, what do you think is going to overtake you?
Junk.
Because that's what you, that's the diet, that you've decided to take in. What you feeding on, that's what that's. And so let's always, I want you to look at it. Look at it from all sides. He told him, he said, behold, he prayeth. 12, and have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. I'm going to preach right here because I know y'all been knowing I've been holding back. All right, one, when he told him where to go and he told him who he was to see and he told him what the man was doing, the next thing he told him was, he's already seen in a vision that you coming.
Yes. Excuse me.
I've already showed him that you coming. That erases anything in Ananias' thoughts about what I ought to be doing. He's telling him to go, and he said, the reason that you're going is, number one, he's praying. Mm-hmm. That's number one. And number two, he's had a vision that you coming. Mm-hmm. So you got two reasons to go down there because I told you so. One, I told you to go down there. Number two, the man's praying. And number three, I done showed him that you coming. Mm-hmm. So that right there took anything that Ananias should have thought about it. I said should have thought about it out of the equation. All right. Listen, and
I'd like to say, I'm sorry, but it just hit me. This is so awesome. I mean, he's just doing multiple things at one time. You know, we just think of God as just one way. You know, he's just going to do this thing. No, God is just working it. He's working it all out. And it came to me. He always say, you know, we were like, well, if I do this, what's going to happen? But God tells us, I have prepared the table before you. Mm. And he's already prepared it. When he asks us to go out, he's already prepared everything we need to have. We just don't know it.
Right.
So since he didn't know it, he straightened him out. He gave him three different things why he needed to be being obedient, right?
That's right.
And so verse 13 says, then Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard by many that this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and he have authority from the high priest to bind all of them that are called on thy name.
He's scared.
Now this is where all of us in this room fit right here.
Right. After he tells
us. We still encapsulated in the flesh.
That's right. It has to come up.
In the midst of all of this revelation, our brain still tried to kick in and try to have a question.
Justified.
That same rationale I'll tell you about, here it is right here. Now he done gave him three things now. You going because the man's praying, and I done gave him a vision, and I told you so.
Right. By whose authority? Me.
I told you to go down there. All right? Listen, verse 15, going to hit it home and we're going to close.
Okay.
But the Lord said unto him, go like I told you. Go thy way. Go on. But he said, go on now. Go on. Right? For he is a chosen vessel unto me. That's number one. I done chosen. This is what his mission is, to bear my name before the Gentiles. Not only to the Gentiles, but to kings and to the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
Yes,
now,
my authority.
Now, as we gonna stop right here, let's go back and look at this. Number one, Saul was on a mission. He was going to bind some people up, and he was gonna drag them back to be persecuted, right?
Yeah. Right.
But what happens? He gets knocked off his horse, and some people take him by the hand and lead him to a place. So here he is. He been doing the leading, and he been doing the binding up and persecuting folk. And now he can't see a lick, and folk carrying him down the road. They walking him down the road. So a lot of times we think things gonna go one way. God can flip that whole script around, and he bringing him all the way back. And not only that, he give him an assignment, and then show him that all this suffering you gave to other folk is getting ready to come back.
You'll just say
what
goes around comes
around. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All that you thought was one way, I'm going to show you how this work on the other hand. On the other hand. But now the good and great part of all of this is that it doesn't matter how you start out. It's how you finish.
That's right.
All right? So there may be a way that we've been heading, and there may be thoughts that we've had, and there have been things that we've done, but God is looking for right now. The scripture said now faith is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if we be willing and obedient now, you can't go back and change nothing. But what you can do is move and press toward now to make these mid-course corrections and do the things that God has called you to do so that he can get the glory out of your life. I want to say something else. You all are not here by accident. God has got a plan for you. God got something that he wants you to do. But it's all according to your prayer life. When you buckle down and donate good time, not just some time, some good time to God, get quiet and let him talk to you. He's going to show you great and mighty things. But let me tell you, there's going to be some persecution that's going to come with it. But in this life, aren't we to understand that we're going to have some? He said, in this life, you're going to have some tribulations, trials, and tests, but be of a what? Good cheer. Good cheer. Trouble don't last always. And in the meantime, until you get to where you can go to heaven, do something for God so that he can get the glory and you can get some jewels in your crown. Because I told y'all, when I get there, I want mine to be so full I can't hardly hold my head. Y'all laughing. Y'all, everybody laugh. I am serious. If there's some things that I can have in heaven, I want them. I don't want to slide into heaven by the skin of my teeth and just get in there and then he don't say, well done. In the end, you've been faithful over a few things. If there's something good I can get, I want it. Don't y'all want something from, if God say you can have it, don't you want it? You just want to just get in there just to make it? He didn't save us for fire insurance. He saved us for a job.